Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm glad everybody's, well, I hope everybody's doing well, amen. If you're doing good, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say oh me.
Oh me.
Okay, well, some people are doing good, some people are not. So, but hey, I think the amens overshadowed the oh me. So, it's good to be in God's house today. Amen. Guys, we've only got a couple more weeks before we'll be celebrating a milestone in the history of this church. 200 years in this building, this very building we're in today. I oftentimes wonder what it was like 200 years ago in this building. What sort of things were going on here, and you know, how that very first service panned out. You ever go back and think about that? You know, there used to be a dirt floor in here, and people came in, the only way to heat it, these big fireplaces here. So I know that there were some awesome things that went on here over the years, and we're excited about that. The committee's done a great job working toward getting everything put together. So I hope and pray you can be here and come and enjoy that. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to... What I decided to start doing, and some of you have noticed this because it's paralleling with it, we started a few weeks ago a study entitled Welcome Home from Lifeway Christian Book Series, and I wanted to just be sure that everyone had a chance to get exposed to some of what we were talking about. So the Lord kind of laid on my heart to start bringing some sermons relative to the lessons that we were doing in that study. So although we get much more in depth with it when we come in on Sunday nights, you're going to at least get an idea of what this whole series was about. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. So I'm going to ask all of you, if you can, stand to your feet in honor and reverence of reading God's word. We're going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 1 and go to verse 10. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father God, Lord, please bless the reading of your word. Lord, over the next few minutes, let us tune our hearts and minds into the message you have for us today, Lord. And we're going to give you the praise ahead of time, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, most of us, we know how to be nice and polite when we have to, don't we?
Yes.
We can turn on that persona, and we can be nice to people, and we can be polite to people when we have to, guys. But genuine joy calls for something much deeper than that. It cannot simply be a surface switch that you flip on to let people think that you're all good and everything, and that you're happy and everything. But genuine joy calls for something much deeper. It doesn't take long for people to tell the difference, really, does it, between a superficial, oh, I'm glad to see you, and authentic joy that somebody shows when you're in their presence. Guys, I love to hang around people. How many of you love to hang around people that are joyful people? I mean, it's like a medicine almost, isn't it? When you hang around with joyful people, you're going to find yourself picked up and lifted up. When you hang around people that are, I don't know any other way to say it, fake, okay? Let's just throw that word out there, okay? When you hang around fake people, they're going to be like, oh, I'm doing fine. Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, that's the way they talk, right? They'll make you think everything is okay, but in reality, they're like, well, I'm not world are they coming over here talking to me? So guys, it doesn't take long to figure that out, does it? And what I'm getting to today is we're talking about a church here in Thessalonica that had just begun their ministry. Paul had went over there and visited. He didn't stay long as he established this church, and he left. And he was very concerned, as we read in God's Word, he was concerned about the state of that church and how they were going to be when he left. But guys, he was very pleased, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. That joy set in on those believers, and that joy should be in our heart right now if we know if we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside us. Amen?
Amen.
That joy should be there. If you are a born-again believer, you cannot remove that joy that's in your heart. That joy is there to stay. The problem is some of us have a hard time cultivating it. You cannot cultivate joy when you look like this. You can't cultivate it. You cannot cultivate joy when you don't smile. You cannot cultivate that joy when you don't laugh. Lord knows I'll give you enough reason to laugh. Just look at me, okay? Amen? I mean, if you can't laugh at this, you can't laugh at anything, right? So guys, let that joy show in your life. That's what we're talking about today. We are talking about intentional joy. I'm going to intentionally be joyful. You know why? Because I got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me.
Amen.
I have something to be joyful about. I have something to clap about. I have something to raise my hands about. You know why? Because Jesus died for me. Oops, sorry about that. Didn't mean to knock that off. Jesus died for me. That makes me very joyful. That makes me very happy. Amen. Guys, we're not able to produce that kind of joy in and of ourselves. You cannot have that kind of joy aside from the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. That kind of joy comes with the gospel and with your love for Christ. That's where that kind of joy comes from. Do you want that kind of joy? You want to show that kind of joy to people when you come in contact with them each and every day? Then it's got to come from here. It can't come from the outside. It's got to come from the inside. That's how you know who truly joyous people are. It's coming from the inside. It's not fake. It's not made up. It's the real deal. The real deal. You know, the church didn't have a peaceful beginning here in Thessalonica. The members were constantly being persecuted by the Jewish community. They were being persecuted. I often wonder, where would churches here in the United States be if we had to meet under the fear of persecution and people rising up against us? Would we even be here today if there was a threat that we could be arrested and thrown in prison for worshiping? This church did not care about that. This church did not care about the fact that the Jews were persecuting them for what they believed in and for what they were trying to do. They were dragging them off. They were beating them. They were putting them in prison. That did not deter them. Minus all of that, this church got off to a great start. Even when Paul had to leave, the work of that church did not disappoint him. Paul was concerned because Paul knew, you know how Paul knew so much and why he was so concerned? Because he was one of those Jews that persecuted Christians. That's how he knew that this can happen to these people if things don't go right. And they're going to face persecution. How do I know that? Because I was the greatest persecutor of them that there ever was. That's the way Paul described himself. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he was one of the biggest haters of those people that loved Jesus. In fact, when he got blinded on the road to Damascus, what was he doing? He had just received orders to go and round up as many Christians as he could. So Paul knew what could happen to these people. He knew what they were in store for. But when he received word that those new Christians in Thessalonica were continuing to grow in their faith and were persevering despite the continued abuse that they were facing, he was thrilled. I mean, he couldn't have asked for more than that. I'm sure he thought probably some of them are going to buckle under this pressure and some of them are going to leave. You know why they didn't leave? They had joy in their heart.
Amen.
That's the kind of joy it takes to get up on Sunday morning. That's the kind of joy it takes to go and do things within the church. That's the kind of joy it takes to do mission work. If you don't have joy, you are not going to be good at ministry. You hear what I'm saying? If you don't have joy in your heart, you're not going to be very good at ministering to people. You've got to be filled with that kind of joy. You've got to love what you do and why you do it and the reason behind why you do it. So you see, these people were full of joy. It didn't matter to them that they were meeting under the possibility that someone could break in on them and break up their meeting and put some of them in prison and beat them. They weren't concerned about that. You see, these Thessalonian Christians, they were working, they were laboring, they were enduring. And you know what? Paul's confidence in them was not in their ability, because they were just ordinary people, guys, just like you and I. We're just ordinary people who serve an extraordinary God. Amen?
Amen.
We serve an extraordinary God. That's why He can take an ordinary person and He can do something extraordinary with them.
Amen.
He can take the worst of the worst and He can do things that we can only imagine could happen. That's how God is. That's why the Bible tells us, lean not on our own understanding. That's why when people make comments like, oh, he'll never going to change, he'll never amount to anything, with God all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Everything is possible when you serve the living God. There's nothing that can't be done if you believe God can do it. That's the problem. We don't believe God can do it. We don't believe God is really as capable as we act like we think He is. And that's where the problem comes. Guys, God can do anything. God can change anything. I mean, look at Paul, who was Saul. Ended up being one of the greatest evangelists, the greatest writers in all the New Testament. But he was one of the worst of the worst when it came to persecuting Christians. In fact, when he got converted and God gave him directions on what to do, people's like, hey, do you know who this guy is? He's been out dragging us into prison. So you see, God can do those things. But I'm going to tell you this. Paul's confidence was not in the ability of the Thessalonians, because they were just ordinary people. His confidence was in the foundation of their work, their labor, and their endurance. It was hope that produced their work. Hope for a better way of life. Hope for eternal life one day if they continued to serve God to the best of their ability. Guys, that's the same hope we have today. The hope of eternal life. How many of you are looking forward to that day one day when we can be together with Jesus and be reunited with our loved ones that have gone on ahead of us, those that knew Jesus as their Savior? I mean, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know how to get somebody charged up in here today. Guys, that's the way it is. This was the kind of hope these people were exemplifying. Love motivated their labor. Hope inspired their endurance. Long before our joy is expressed outwardly, guys, to others, it is formed inwardly through faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. That's what formulates our joy from within so that we can share it with people outside. You got to have that in order for it to happen. Guys, if we are truly confident on our salvation in Christ, we should have a true and authentic joy that is apparent to all who come in contact with us. And this joy should be infectious to those around us. I'm going to give you three characteristics that I believe authentic joy is going to have out of the salvation that Christ brings us. Let's look at these three characteristics for just a minute. Number one, authentic joy does not wax and wane with circumstances. It doesn't wax and wane with circumstances. Guys, we often equate joy with what's going on during our day. If I'm happy, I'm joyful. If I'm not, I'm upset. If things don't go my way, I'm going to pout. If things don't go my way, I'm going to pick up my toys and go home. You see, that's not showing joy. Can you show joy in the midst of disaster? Can you show joy in the midst of your world falling apart around you? That's when you know you have the true joy of Jesus Christ in your heart. When you can be joyful even in times where the world would say, you ought to be mad. You ought to be upset. No, I'm going to have joy in my heart. You know why? Because I serve somebody that's greater than this world, that's defeated this world, and I'm following Him. I'm not going to follow the example that this world is going to set for me, because this world is not going to let you be very joyful. You know why? Because they don't want you to be. The devil does not want you to find joy in life. Do you understand that, guys? Does everybody understand what we fight every day as believers? Do you understand the battle we face every time we wake up and get out of bed? We face good and evil all day long. And if we're not careful, guess what? Evil is going to win. How do you combat evil? Let that joy shine and outflow from your heart. Guys, the devil, he's roaring around. He's prowling around like a lion waiting to devour whoever he can. And you know what? Some people say, well, how do I know if this is the devil? And how do I know if this is really God just trying to speak to me in a certain way? Let me tell you something. Here's how you'll always know if something is of the devil and something is of God. First of all, the devil will never want you to do anything that would please God or even remotely make God happy. So if you're thinking that this is happening because God is in it, no, God wants you to be peaceful. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be where He wants you to be. If it's any other thing, it's coming from the devil, guys. And you got to realize that. He wants to break up families. He wants people to divorce. He wants people to have kids out of wedlock and everything else that's going on here in this world today. He wants that. And if we sit around and try to justify everything that's going on here, that's exactly what's going to happen. You cannot justify it because it's not biblical. Because it's not what God wants. Guys, you cannot let your joy wax and wane with your circumstances. The source of the joy of a believer is found in God alone. That's where it's found. Number two, authentic joy is more solid and stable than the rising sun. Think about that one for a minute. The sun's pretty stable, isn't it? It rises in the east and sets in the west every day. That's stability, isn't it? That's stability. But guess what? Authentic joy is more solid and stable than that because it is going to be there forever. Amen. One day the sun is going to cease to shine. Amen. When Jesus comes again, amen, and He destroys this earth, and then we move into the new earth and we inhabit it with all our loved ones that have gone on ahead of us. But our joy will last forever. Our joy will not cease. I want to make sure you understand that. Joy does not come and go with our circumstances. It is because joy comes from God that we can know the true source of our joy and that it will never be shaken. That joy comes from God. That's the kind of joy we have inside us. Because of this, we are never without hope. Anybody that says, I just don't have any more hope. If you're a born-again believer in God, you ought to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for even thinking such as that. Because when you are connected with the Holy Spirit of God, there is always hope.
Amen.
Even in the darkest of situations in your life, there is hope. So don't ever give up. Don't ever give in. Don't ever let anybody tell you can't be something. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
I can do anything I want to do that God wants me to do. If God's backing it, I'm going to get it done. But let me tell you, part of the problem is sometimes we're outside God's will. And it ain't going to work. Pardon my English there. Amen. Anybody an English major in here? If you are, forgive me because I was a science major. Okay? We use big words, but we don't know what half of them mean. Amen. But anyway, guys, if you're outside the will of God, it's not going to work. I know situations and all right now in people's lives where they think they have found the solution to all of their happiness and all their problems. But if they're outside the will of God, it will not work. It will bring them sadness. It will bring them disappointment. And it will bring them discipline from the hand of God. Think about that. Think about that, guys. True joy is more solid and stable than the rising sun. The third thing is this. Authentic joy is not found in immediate gratification, but by pushing past it. Guys, we ought not be happy and joyful only when good things have happened to us.
Amen.
We got to learn to praise God in the storms of life as well.
Amen.
We got to be joyful in those times. Do you just quit living because things have happened to you? Do you just draw up in a ball and go sit in the corner because you lost your spouse, because you lost your kid? No, life is for the living. That joy should still be coming out of you no matter what kind of tragedy you faced in your life. It should never end because of circumstances. And it should never be dependent on circumstances. The joy you have should be coming out of you 24/7, regardless of what's happening in the world around you. Amen?
Amen.
It should still be coming out of you. You know, these Thessalonian believers, they had a reputation. God's word says, as we read on into the book of Thessalonians, a joyous designation that pointed to Christ and served as an invitation for others to embrace what they had. Perhaps you want that too. But the circumstances in life seem to constantly threaten you living in such joy. Guys, let me tell you what. Those Thessalonian believers were so in tune with God and so full of joy that it got back to Paul that people wanted what they had. Does anybody want what you have? Think about that. How is your life? Do people want what you have? Do people want the kind of joy you have? Are you showing joy that so much that they want part of it? Think about this, guys. Would someone in this world want to change places with you because of the joy they see in your heart every day? Or would they just say, man, ooh, he's got it rough. She's got it rough. I thought I had it bad. Is that what people are saying? Guys, you ought to let your light so shine before men that they know who you serve. Amen. Let that joy come out of you. Let it come out. Guys, we can begin by reminding ourselves daily of a few important things, and I'm going to be done when I go over these three things here with you. We can remind ourselves about this by these three important things. Number one, remember what you deserve, really, if it came down to it. We don't deserve anything from God. Amen? How many of you think you deserve to live high on the hog? How many of you think you deserve to have all these nice clothes and this transportation and this nice house to live in? No, you don't deserve any of that. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. We deserve death. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You know why? Because He loves us that much. He didn't want us to have to go through all of those things. We don't deserve to have these things. You know what? Entitlement is one of the greatest enemies of joy. Well, I've worked my butt off. I deserve that. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Anybody ever heard somebody say that in reference to their neighbor who got a new car? Or their neighbor who put a swimming pool in? or their neighbor who got a promotion at work? Guess what? They earned it. They went out and got it while you're sitting at home complaining about what you ought to have. Get up off your lazy rear and do something about it. Amen? Quit complaining about people who go out and work. Get up and work. Whoo! I might run for office one day, amen? Just not right now. I don't want to get confirmed, amen? That would be a painful process, amen? I mean, you would never want to face that political bashing. Not me, brother. We've all got things that happened when we were teenagers, right? Whew, okay, if that's the way it takes to get in politics now, nobody will be running in the next few years. Oh, boy. I'm not even going to get on that one. Guys, remember what we deserve. We do not deserve anything that God's given us. He gave it to us, first of all, because of His grace. He gave us the gift of salvation. Amen. We're saved by His grace. Not anything that we deserve. We don't deserve it. But by His grace, He brought His saving grace into our life. You guys, this entitlement creeps into our lives when we look around at our circumstances and we start fostering the idea that we deserve something better than the situation or circumstance we find ourselves in. We don't deserve anything better than what we're in right now in this moment. You know why? Because God's ordained it. God ordains things in our lives that happen on a timetable. It's God's timetable. We cannot change or accelerate God's timetable. We can't decelerate it. We must accept the fact that in His time, God is going to work all things together for good. What? To those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So you see, things may not be happening that are real positive in your life right now. Guess what? There's still hope. Guess what? You still have joy because of the Holy Spirit of God living in your heart. So it's not over. It's not over. Don't draw up in a ball and lay on the floor and kick your feet and cry and say, oh, poor pitiful me. Get up and do something about it. Let somebody else see the joy you have despite your circumstances. The second one is this. Number two, remember what you have. Another enemy of joy is comparison. Guys, when we get caught up in our own covetousness, we do not have time for joy. When we get caught up in our own covetousness, we don't have time for joy. What does it mean to covet something?
Well, man, I want that car over there. Man, I want that outfit there. Man, I deserve that. Guys, anytime you're sitting there thinking that you want something that somebody else has because you feel like you deserve it, you've stepped into the realm of covetousness. Okay? It shouldn't be in the life of a believer. You know what? God's already promised to take care of our needs if we put Him first in our life, hadn't He? In the book of Matthew, it tells us that. He didn't promise, however, that He was going to make everything the best of the best in giving us those needs. So if you want something better than what God is willing to give you on the surface up front, you're going to have to work at it. He didn't say you couldn't have them. He just said, don't want something that somebody else has and you're not willing to do what that somebody else did in order to get that something. Amen? Don't want what somebody else has if you're not willing to do what that somebody else is doing. Amen? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Don't want it if you aren't willing to do it. It just ain't going to happen that way. All right, the third thing is this, guys, and I'm done. Remember the price that was paid. You got to remember the price that was paid. A great price has been paid for our salvation. And guess what? It was not paid with silver and gold. It wasn't paid by writing a check and saying, here, I'm giving you this for all mankind. No, it was paid by the death of Jesus Christ. That is how it was paid for us. That is how our debt was paid. And guess what? This is the great thing about it. It's been paid in full. Amen. It's been paid in full. You don't owe anything. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you don't owe Him anything else except your service the rest of your life, your joy the rest of your life, your witness the rest of your life. That's what you owe Him in return for what He did for you. Are you willing to do that? Because, guys, it's been paid in full. That debt's been paid in full. It's my hope that because of this, that our hearts begin to burn with that joy that's inside us. It's there, guys. It's there, guys. If you think about what Jesus did for you, you ought to have so much joy coming through you right now you can't stand it. Because Jesus paid it all. You know the old song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe? Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus has already paid it. It's paid in full. Do you want to be joyful? Or do you want to be sad all the time? Do you want to be joyful? Or do you want to be mad all the time? Do you want to be joyful? Or do you want to complain all the time? As for me and my house, we're going to be joyful. Amen?
Amen.
Ain't that right, honey? Amen. We're going to be joyful. Even when we are mad, we're going to be saying, here's how we get mad at each other. Man, I sure do like the way that you didn't do that. We're joyful even when we get mad, amen? So hey, be joyful even when you're mad at people, amen? All right, when you can get to that point, you understand what real joy is about, amen? Man, I love y'all. God loves you despite your faults. I want you to understand that. He loves you. Look, I'm going to quote one of Mr. Burke's favorite sayings. He's got many of them, in case you don't know. Just sit around him for a while and you'll learn them. Or not all of them, but you'll learn some of them. One of my favorite quotes that he always says is, don't take life too seriously. You'll never get out of it alive. Think about that one for a minute. But guess what? Have joy in your heart the rest of the days God's given you. Be joyful. Put a smile on your face. Put a song in your heart. You know, go out of your way to do something good for somebody. It's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. But if you never experience that and you don't test that and you don't understand that that is in you, then you're going to live a sad, reclused life. You're just going to stay withdrawn and never get to experience that kind of joy. Guys, I hope and pray that you'll understand what that intentional joy is all about. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for each and every person that's here today, Lord. I love each and every person in this church. God, I just want what's best for them, and I know You do. Lord, help us to be willing to show that joy in our heart. Lord, help us to be joyful in any season, in any occasion, in any circumstance in our life. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise for that. We thank You for the gift of joy. We thank You for letting us have that to get us through these tough times in our life.
to get us through situations that we don't really want to be in. And God, I just pray that we'll always give thanks to you from whence all these things come. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
Hymn number 105.
Hymn number 105. Let's stand and sing. The altar's always open. Come and pray. If you feel you need to just talk to God, come on up here. God wants to talk to you today. Amen.